How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
The CDGA Golf Show every single Saturday with you, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their Wheel Pro Golf Bag. So, Mike, we've just to clean up everything with the TGL and what we've seen from it so far, I just think some of these guys are too good to be playing. And you brought it up too about the technology, that there's probably actually technology out there that's better suited for these guys and the quality of their game, but those companies just aren't owned by Tiger Woods. Yeah. And so that's kind of the big snag that you have in terms of implementing that technology into these events, especially when the league is largely driven by Tiger Woods, both from a viewership and a financial standpoint. But it feels like I'm trying to think of like the best comp for it. Not to say it's like putting NBA players in Papa Shot, but like it does feel gimmicky to that point where it's like these guys are too good. And you can tell, not that they're taking it as a joke, but it's more relaxed.
Yeah.
And I think part of what drives the personality of these guys is their competitiveness and what it's like when, hey, you're chasing a stroke or two down the stretch here, and that's what brings out the emotion. Like, I don't think you'll see – it just looks like if you and I were out there and we were playing an actual round of golf, how we would celebrate if one of us made a birdie, right? And that's kind of how it feels like in this, whereas you get a real fired-up reaction when these guys – are out there on their own, kind of like with Ludwig in his comeback win at the Genesis from a week ago. When you see him fist pumping and celebrating on 18 after he sinks the putt to clinch the victory there with a couple groups behind him still, like that to me showed, all right, that's the emotion, that's the thrill of victory, and I just don't feel like you get that here.
You don't, because, I mean, we associate Ryder Cup, President's Cup, all of that country pageantry, emotion, you know, that patriotism, if you will, pride for our country when they're playing as a team. You know, first off, Chicago doesn't have a team. Let's start there.
And I think that's the other disjointed part of it, too, is like, sure, there's teams and cities attached to these teams, but like, what does that really even matter? It's not like the events. Oh, LA is hosting Atlanta. It's not like they're going to Atlanta. All of them are played at. It's all played in Florida. No matter what, it reminds me actually of like the all of these pop up football leagues, that the spring football leagues, like the USFL. All the games are played in Alabama.
That's right.
Like, and it's like that's part of the. That's why it's tough to like attach a team to or like a city to some of these things too.
Exactly. So I mean, to really do it right, we needed to have a SoFi Center here, right next to like the United Center,
yeah.
Right, and then have our own team, and then have home games. Yeah. I mean, it would be no different than.
I'll tell you this.
I mean, how many Chicago Cubs are from Chicago?
Right.
Right. But we have a stadium here.
But we can go to
here.
Wrigley.
Yeah, right. We have a stadium here, and we have a following, and we've grown to love this team.
And I'm not going to lie; like, I would go.
Oh,
if it
I
was
would
here.
Too.
And I think there would be demand if it was a traveling act, but that's a lot to ask for these players, especially since they're playing in PGA Tour events now. It's kind of, I don't know, like, I mean, these guys do want some semblance of an off season, I'm sure. Like, and is there really a good place to put this? I don't know.
Well, I think where they have it is the right place, and it needs to be a small sample size, I might add, too. I think too much of this is definitely going to be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But I think for a Tuesday night in the middle of the winter for us north of the Mason-Dixon line, it fills a void. It fills a need. Now, you know, do we wish it could have been real and we get the same energy on a weekend of outdoor golf coverage? Sure. But it's Tuesday night. I mean, what else are you going to watch? I mean, there's really nothing else on other than, you know, college basketball of some sort, some conference somewhere. But yeah, it's hard to emotionally get attached to the, you know, the Boston team or the New York team. So yeah, there isn't that, you know, connection, if you will. But like you said, there's only one facility, so it all has to happen there. But I bet this is truly one of those where I'll bet being there is unbelievable experience versus what you see on TV.
Yeah, it might have like a hockey type of vibe to it.
Absolutely.
Where watching on TV doesn't give you the real effect of actually being there. Chuck's in Elmhurst. What's up, Chuck?
Hello.
Hello, Chuck.
What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, guys. You guys raised a good point about it would be cool if they did real holes in golf, but the problem that they've got is they chose to use the real green and for putting and chipping. Yeah. They can't change the shape of it, right? So they have to use fake holes. They can rotate it, they can change the undulation, but the bunkers are stuck where they are and the shape is stuck, so they can't do it.
It's a good point,
and
Chuck.
And that's a great point by Chuck.
I think, yeah, that's obviously part of the problem with that.
And you know what's interesting about that green? When they described what this was going to be like, they were all about this particular green and advertising the fact that it had 600 jacks underneath it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the original plan was to change the jacks in the midst of play. But I think what they realized that trying to do that was creating putts and slopes that they needed to. It would take more time to tweak than they have for the telecast. I don't know that they could get it right every single change. So rather than risk that, they just rotated, you know, in different circles, different vantage points to enter the green. But Chuck brings up an excellent point that, you know, you wouldn't match the green, but you could match up to that point. But
for sure.
So it does have its limitations. Yeah. It is virtual.
Yeah. And I think it is one of the things, I always think there's, you can get these putting greens now where it's, you can inflate them to a point to create different undulations and curvatures on the greens now. But obviously, if you're going to invest into this league, there has been the investment that there is, you're going to go for the thing that's got 600 jacks underneath it.
Oh, yeah. And I will say this, though. The thing that has been remarkable to me, and to show you just how good these guys are, when they can put as much blade on a chip, that artificial turf green, they can make that thing dance and stop and back up like a regular green. That was very impressive. But the one thing you have to remember, these guys are always going to play really, really good on these simulators because, let's remember, folks, they're hitting off of a flat lie. They literally get to put the hand on the ball and put the ball down. I mean, that in itself is an oddity to see, you know, any of these great players with a golf ball in their hand before they actually hit it. So there are those elements, you know, and especially when they have to chip and whatever. I mean, the lies are absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
But then the wizardry that they can do with those clubs is that I do enjoy watching that piece of it very much.
Yeah, I think that, that's the part where you do get to see the true talent of some of these guys as well. Ryan's in Shorewood. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Great show. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, I know. And we might be able to get some golf next week, but it might be a little mushy. But
good luck to you.
Just to comment a little bit on the format of the league, it's, you know, I think it's okay. It drew my attention early on. I didn't keep to it. One of the things that maybe could have been a better starting point, you mentioned MLK starting day. They probably could have waited till after the NFL playoffs were over and then got it going when it's really a dead time on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, like you're saying. And then also changing the format up to where it's not just PGA Tour players. Why don't you throw a senior guy in there, a woman's player, maybe even an amateur? I would have loved to seen Korda be on a 14. Make it more interesting. Draw all those, you know, different groups of people watching this. It might have been something that could have attracted more viewers.
Yeah, a couple good points there, Ryan. I'll say this in terms of the timing. I didn't have a problem with where they started in terms of the timing of it, because like the NFL playoffs, that's Saturday, Sunday. There's still the void during the week, and I think people are looking for that void. It's not like, oh, football season, so I'm just going to block out my entire Monday through Friday as well, consuming football content. I don't think that's as much of an issue, but I do like the idea of what he was bringing up there, where mix up the groups a little bit.
100%.
Get a Nelly Korda out there. Get a guy off the senior tour. Hell, get someone off of LIV.
Get somebody off of LIV. You could even get some former athletes to,
yeah.
You know, you could, there's a lot of different things you could do with this, but for the good of the game, I agree with Ryan 100%. I think having a Nelly Korda and a Brooke Henderson and maybe a key senior and having one of those weeks to, you know, or put a female on each team. I mean, that's part of the yeah. team. I mean, there's a lot of cool things, and I think that would open up the eyes to a lot more female viewers and growing the game, because as our statistics tell us, 1/3 of the new players coming into the game now are women. Mm-hmm. So that's big. That's up from about 15%.
Yeah.
So that goes to show what's going on.
There's definitely some tweaks. I don't know what the longevity of this is going to look like, though.
No, again, I think it's an experiment. They had to do something in year one.
I'm glad they tried.
Definitely, because there's, for sure, if you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. But I do think that the schedule that Ryan related to get it going a little later, the reason that they don't is I think they wanted to wrap this thing up while the tour was in Florida. So it makes it convenient on the tail end when they need to do the playoffs, that pretty much is everybody's in the state of Florida for an event or they live there.
Right.
And so they just sort of had to bebop their way through that January schedule while they're out in Hawaii and the West Coast.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the season's also so condensed, because then, hey, let's get on with the regular season.
Yeah. The Genesis from a week ago, that to me, it was kind of like getting my legs back under me in terms of golf watching. That's probably that's the first event I've watched like intently, like it was a major, or like it was an every stop along the tour event. I do want to talk about what Ludvig has been able to do so far this year, including that win last week. It was incredible. Incredible stuff. The finish there. And then I got to get you my year of this guy. It is the year of this guy that I am declaring for this season. I need to get you all that and more when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment is brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course, CDGA Golf Show, back with you. I do want to, we've got some tickets here to the Chicago Golf Show. We've got two pairs to give away. So it's valid for February 28th through March 2nd. So any of the days in there. It's a fantastic event. You can come out. We're going to be doing the show live from there on the Saturday, so March 1st. We'll be out live there from 9 to 11 a.m. Peggy and Dion will follow us there, 11 to 1. So it's going to be a great time. Do some long putting, do some shopping, look at all the different and latest technology in golf. There's some great seminars, some people speak in there. All of it's great stuff, so check it out. But we will give away, let's do it to callers 5 and 10 right here at 312-332-3776. We've got two pairs to give away here to the Chicago Golf Show, 312-332-3776. Callers 5 and 10 will win those pairs of tickets. We're talking a little bit about Ludvig and what he's done. Goes out, wins the Genesis last week, and a displaced Genesis, but they got it done nonetheless. And I got to say, like, first of all, you know my stance on West Coast golf, especially like prime time. I love it. I love it because you get the golf going till late at night, and it's just a everything about it to me, the way that the sun's coming in on TV, all of it, it's fantastic. But this is going to be a big year for Ludvig because last year he had the Sunday Scaries.
He did.
I mean, he was fantastic at the Masters in his debut Masters, had a chance to win it until Amen Corner ate up everybody except for Scotty.
That's right.
But Ludvig, this is going to be a big year for him, and he's starting off with a bang with the way that he was able to overcome and leapfrog some people and also fend some people off down the stretch as well. Guys like Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, who made some late charges at that thing. Maverick McNealy, by the way, talk about a guy who caught fire. Entered the day 3 under and well off the lead. I think he was like 5 or 6 strokes back. And then goes out and shoots, if I'm remembering correctly, 8 under.
Mm-hmm.
And was just could not be stopped. Irons were dead on, everything about. And the crazy thing about it, he was missing almost every single fairway, too. And it wasn't even really like recovery golf. He just found a way. But everything about what Ludvig did last week, I mean, he dialed in. There was a point where, and this was one of my gripes, and I know I'm not alone on this, too. The guy is supposed to be one of the next big stars in your sport.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to promote him. He's a couple shots off the lead. I think he was like 2 or 3 shots off the lead at the time. And I don't think you saw a shot from him for an hour.
Yeah.
And you're showing all of these other guys like Patrick Rogers, and no disrespect to guys like him, but you're showing all of these other guys here. And obviously you're showing Scotty, but some of these guys were not even close to being in it. Meanwhile, you've got one of your up-and-coming stars of the sport who still has nearly the entire course left to play, and you're going like 45 minutes to an hour between shots of this guy, despite the fact that he's heavily in contention?
Yeah, you know, and it's a tough call, I think, by Tommy Roy and NBC in that case, because he did still have quite a bit of real estate to still cover. But to your point, to leave him out of it for so long, and yet he's quietly getting himself back into this thing quickly, and really not to see much of it. Because first and foremost, you can learn a lot by watching Ludvig play golf. You can just watch his swing. His mechanics are almost perfect.
Incredible. And, like whenever they do the Konica Minolta, like swing trackers, immaculate.
It's immaculate. And I also love watching him as a tactician go around that golf course. And that's how he won that golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember, this guy turned pro in 2023 and he's already has 5 professional wins. This guy's future is so bright. And I think Scotty is going to get pushed big time by this young man. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we're looking at each other in the middle of the summer saying, look who's number one in the world again.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be by the summer number one in the world.
Wow.
I do.
That's high praise. And
I am so impressed with this guy.
So am I. Listen, I loved him at the Masters. I picked him in a lot of our fantasy golf things. And I think that the injury that he had ahead of the PGA Championship last year, really, to be honest, it slowed him down, but it didn't hurt him. It felt like, and he still had some impressive outings, but it was always those Sunday collapses, and it looked like he was heading for another one.
I know.
And then all of a sudden there was a gear that he hit. I believe he birdied like 3 straight holes, and it was just, you saw a different golfer out there. You saw him really play opposite of what he's been on Sundays throughout his career, where Sundays have been a real struggle for him. He'll be leading after 54 holes or 36 holes, and then all of a sudden he gets to Sunday, and it's a different player, and not for the better. Some guys you see, like Scotty, Sunday Scotty, he turns it on. Like
he does.
And he turned it on in this event and scared a lot of people into thinking, oh, man, this guy could go out there and win this whole thing. But, yeah, like something about Sunday has been a real hiccup and Achilles heel for Ludvig. But it looks like things could be turning, and this was a great sign out of the gate for it.
There's no doubt about that, because when he didn't make birdie at 17, there was not a bit of panic. You could just tell he looked at his caddy and goes, we just birdie here, and we win. We just got work to do. And not any emotion, up, down, or anyways. He just went about his business and calmly went up and made birdie. And it was really cool to watch him make a putt that Tiger made. The hole was cut in that same spot. And you know that meant a lot to Ludwig with the reaction he gave, because that's about as emotional as you'll see him get. But I also look to the future of the professional game. Let's keep Liv and this whole thing out of it for a second, but Scotty needs somebody to push him. Scotty's 28 years old. Ludwig's 25. I think this is the future, you know, Jack and Arnie.
Rivalry.
I really, truly believe it.
Phil and Tiger.
I do. And I think it's going to be the best thing for the professional game to see Ludwig push Scotty in ways that nobody else can.
It's going to be interesting, too, to see, because we've seen it look like there's some of these rivalries brewing, whether it was with Spieth or Justin Thomas or Morikawa. It looked like we were ready to crown these next stars. Victor Hovland, another one.
Yep.
And everything's going so well, and then all of a sudden things fall off for them. It'll be interesting to see if Ludwig can keep it going, because we've seen Scotty kind of get over the wall, but there haven't been a lot of these guys to really get over the hump and stay over the hump the whole time.
But did we see Ludwig just do that? Did he go through that
Sunday? He's got to win some majors.
Right.
But yeah.
And I think maybe he had an opportunity to observe Scotty firsthand and how he handles himself on Sundays and what he does that Ludwig doesn't do. And I think Ludwig is of a different mindset, you know, than a Victor Hovland, for example. I think he's a bit more grounded. I think he's a bit more disciplined in his approach to the game. And I think that's going to be a bit of the difference. I think Victor's still trying to figure some things out, but I think Ludwig has figured quite a bit out. And now, does he have all the answers? No, because he's still young, but he is more mature than his age even indicates. His golf maturity is off the charts for a 25-year-old, and how he is able to just remain calm, cool, ice water in the veins. I mean, nothing bothers the guy. And that's what I admire the most about his demeanor on the golf course. He's just got that, you know, that smile, and, you know, just nothing bothers him. And that is something I think we all take and probably be better at ourselves.
Yeah.
But he is the guy that I look up to see that's how you should act on a golf course.
For sure. Yeah, no, I mean, like, you can never tell when he's daunted. Like,
exactly.
He is just very stoic the entire time. You know, speaking of Victor Hovland, too, I have all of a sudden become extremely conscious of when I'm around my bed. For those who are not aware of this, Victor Hovland you haven't seen a lot of him lately because he's been dealing with a broken pinky toe on his foot. And it happened because in the middle of the night, he accidentally kicked one of the posts on his bed frame, and it broke his toe. And he posted the X-ray and everything. Like it was a pretty gruesome break.
Uh-huh.
Just for kicking it. Like, we're talking about some of these weird sports injury or these weird athlete injuries, and we've had our fair share in town too. Like, I think about Sammy Sosa sneezing. Throwing out his back. Derek Rose, he cut his hand with the apple cutter. Carlos Boozer tripped over a gym bag and broke his, I can't remember if it was his wrist or something in his arm. But this one's up there, jamming your toe and breaking it on the bed frame. And I've just become very conscious of it now. I keep forgetting. I was going to get you know how they have those childproof, pads that you put on table corners.
Yeah.
I've thought about getting some of that foam and just wrapping it around all of the bedpost that I have, because I've hit my foot on it and it hurts. Luckily, I've never broken a toe as a result of it, but I'm always conscious now of making sure I either am staying away from it, or like I have my slippers on that I know will like cushion some of the blow if I do accidentally kick it.
Yeah, broken toes are no fun. And being a former goaltender and a catcher, my feet are not good to look at right now. They're not. So any injury to a foot in any way, shape, or form, that's what's securing you to the ground.
Yeah.
And for these guys, a broken pinky toe may not sound like much, but it will cause you to flinch. It'll cause you to do something that you wouldn't normally do. And at their level, it is so razor thin.
Yeah.
So just that little thing. So I'm going to ask you, are you done playing softball?
Oh, yeah. I am well retired from that after last year's debacle, yeah, after so, I broke my finger.
And it's funny. You know, my wife took a tumble down the stairs and broke her leg in a couple spots, had to have surgery. And just like you, I am extra careful and cognizant about when I walk downstairs. Because when you're that close and you see what could so easily happen, and then you think about golf, and it's like, wow, now I really am consciously making much more mature decisions, all because I want to stay healthy for golf.
You know what's funny, too, is Adam Abdallah, who works here, he tweaked his back last summer, and he's had some issues with his back before, but he said when he tweaked it, the first thing he did was do a backswing to see if he could do it still, or if it was going to be something that would hinder his ability to golf that weekend.
100%. Anytime you have something goes wrong, whether it's in your hands, can I re-grip the club? Because, in fact, I got this little splinter at the gym. I think it's a piece of metal that's in my thumb. But I immediately went, well, how is that going to affect my hand on the club? Yeah. And it's okay. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just live with that thing there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's as you get to your sport being golf and everything is about golf, those other sports now start to matter a lot less as you get older.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Some people have talked about like a basketball league. Like I get asked to play basketball from time to time, and I'm just like, I don't know. It'd be one thing if it was like November, because then it's like, all right, if I do get injured, I'll have the entire winter to recover. And then by the time we get to playable golf weather here, I should be good to go.
Yeah.
But now it's like, we're a week away from March.
Yeah, and like you, I was invited to play in a senior men's hockey game about a week and a half ago, and I just said, can't, won't, not gonna. I mean, and it's not because I fear what I'll do on the ice. It's the people I can't control running into me. So I golf is it. And so, yes, we just sometimes have to put the teenager in our mind out the door and think like a more mature adult.
Yep. All right, when we come back, I still got to get you. It's the year of this guy.
All right, you got me on pins and needles here.
I'm feeling a really big year for this player, and he's not on the PGA Tour, but I think he's going to take the majors by storm this year. And I'll give you a little preview as well. He is my pick to win the Masters this year.
Whoa.
So all that and more coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
You buy PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. All right, so I've been telling you it's going to be the year of this guy on the major circuit this year. And I'm telling it to anyone that will listen. Charlie Bevins has heard me say it countless times. You'll see him produce for us from time to time here on the CDGA Golf Show. This is the year of John Rahm.
Wow.
It is the return of John Rahm this year. And I say this for a couple of reasons. First of all, what he did in 2023 was immaculate. And he's kind of been like an every other year kind of guy. Like when you look at his, let's go back and start in 2019. Top 10 at the Masters, top 5 at the U.S. Open, and tied for 11th at the Open Championship. 2020, little bit of a struggle by his standards. He's falling behind in a lot of those. 2021, he was top eight in every single event and won the U.S. Open. 2022, did not finish better than 12th in any of the majors. 2023, wins the Masters, runner-up at the Open, and top 10 at the U.S. Open. Last year, a bit of a struggle. However, at the end of the year is when he really turned it on. Now, you got to put everything in context here, too. He makes the jump to LIV last year. He was not comfortable.
No.
Especially early. You hear him yelling at drones and stuff like that. And it was tough for me to really feel bad for him. It's like, dude, you took the money. You took a crap ton of money to go play in this thing that, frankly, not a lot of people are going to watch. But you took the money. You better be able to hit a golf shot with a drone buzzing in your ear. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Very little sympathy for you. But it feels like he had a top 10 at the Open, was playing really well, played well at the Olympics, won LIV Golf Chicago, won another event in late July as well. He turned it on at the end of the year, and I think it's because he became a little more comfortable, A, in his own skin, and yes. B, in the format that he was playing. And all of it, to me, just kind of said, I feel like he's ramping up for a big year. And every single year since LIV has become a part of the golf ecosystem in terms of when we're merging events, we're getting to our majors, there's always a LIV guy who kind of takes the year by storm. 2 years ago, it was Brooks. Last year, it was Bryson. This year, I think it's Rahm. And I think part of the criteria is you have to have been a part of you have to have been a star within the ecosystem beforehand. Brooks has been a star before. He's won PGAs. He's won majors before. Bryson's won majors before. Rahm's won majors before. And I think that's a vital part. It's part of why we've never seen the Joaquin Niemann get over the hump, it feels like. Tyrrell Hatton hasn't gotten over the hump ever since going to LIV. And when it comes to getting back to these events where everyone reconvenes, and to me, it feels like this is the year of John Rahm.
Well, that's a great observation on your part, and you've clearly done your homework because, yes, Mr. Rahm was all out of sorts at the PGA Championship when I was there at Valhalla standing next to him, and I couldn't believe how unhappy and how just he never smiled. He was angry at the world. You could just feel it back in May.
He was a hothead.
Like he was.
That's what his reputation is.
But I think as you know, time heals most wounds, and so time allowed him to play in more events, and not only on LIV, but coming back to the majors, and kind of reinserting himself into this ecosystem, because he kind of pulled himself out of it, and now he's one of them, but now I got to come back and feel like you guys are accepting me for who I am, and not from now saying who I might be. And I think he is such a sensitive guy, and he feels like guys were giving him the cold shoulder. Those little things are bothering John Rahm. Well, John Rahm's not going to play good golf. I think somebody finally got in between his ears a little bit and said, you've got to get rid of that noise. You've got to just think about, you know, things in a very basic, keep it simple way. And I think that's what was John's success before he made the jump. But by making that jump, mentally, he messed things up in his own simple mind. And I think it just took him time to get used to this new paradigm and playing in front of almost nobody and nobody watching you, but yet you still matter because the dollars do, but still trying to play himself into majors and playing well at majors. But I agree, though. I think he could have one heck of a season. And to your point, there's always one LIV player, at least, if not two, that are always right at the top of the leaderboard. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But I guess I wouldn't be surprised if I start seeing John Rahm and Bryson going at it down the stretch at one of these majors. That wouldn't surprise me in the least, especially for the green jacket.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a really good dash at the top, I feel like, from a LIV standpoint for a lot of these majors. We saw Brooks win a couple years ago. We saw Bryson win last year. And I feel like what the last couple of years have shown us is that one of these guys usually gets one of them.
Yep.
And
almost got two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In multiple instances. I mean, even I think back to that first Masters where everyone was there. It was you had Rahm ultimately won it. Now, this was when he was a part of the PGA Tour at the time, but Brooks was on his tail.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Reed was on his tail. Phil was on his tail.
Phil finished third.
Yeah. And you didn't see a single one of his shots on Sunday, did
you? No, you never did.
But, yeah, no, I think that the way that it's kind of set up and the way that it has been, when you think about the top of the top on LIV is just as good as what you're seeing on the PGA Tour. It's once you get to like 5 through 10, the guys on the PGA Tour clear them by a landslide.
100%. And, you know, and I also think as these discussions between PIF and the PGA Tour continue to go, and it seems at this point, all things point to Ponte Vedra that a big announcement's going to be made. And the one thing I can tell you is that is for sure, nobody knows what that announcement's going to be. But there seems to be a much more positive feel in the direction things are going. And I think that allows a guy like Rahm and Brooks and these guys, when they feel like things are coming together, that I think the animosity has been wearing down. And I think in certain cases, for some of the players, it's actually kind of gone away.
Yeah.
It isn't, they aren't the pariahs that they once were. And so I think that helps them when they come back to a major to feel like I belong, I'm one of them. There is no more of this us and them, or it's a lot less. And they're now tolerating the LIV or accepting it for what it is. We're not quite sure what it will be, but I've got my own thoughts on that.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, how are you feeling now? We're coming up on 2 years from when we are getting the announcement that LIV Golf and the PGA Tour was going to have some sort of merger. We didn't know what that would even entail.
Right.
We just knew it was all coming together. We were all going to be one big happy family, but we're coming up on 2 years now, and everything's the same, largely.
It is, but I think if, in fact, they're going to go to one tour, it's going to be interesting how they go about rolling this out. Mm-hmm. Because if, you know, they already reduced the number of cards from 125 to 100. So if you're anywhere in the 90s, low 100s, and now you see the potential of a bunch of guys from LIV coming over to take your job, you know, that becomes of a concern. So it's how are we going to integrate these guys back in? And if we are going to have only one tour, what happens to LIV? I mean, does it go away? I think when this first came out, if you go back a couple years ago, one of the things I thought for how this thing was going to eventually end up, just like the NBA or the NHL when they had the WHA or the ABA, there were a couple teams that ended up coming over and joining the NBA and the NHL. That's how we got the Edmonton Oilers, you know, and that's how we got the Indiana Pacers. It came from that kind of expansion and consolidation. So I think there's going to be a couple of LIV events, and I think the one in Australia, for example, is going to be one of them. I think that's going to be one of the events that will go on to the PGA Tour, because
that'd be something.
45% of the revenue that LIV made internationally came just from Australia. That's how big golf is in Australia. And the PGA Tour would be knuckleheads not to take advantage of that, and I think they will. So I think there's going to be a couple of their events, and I think there'll be a couple of DP events, and it'll be a PGA Tour. And I think the rest of LIV, I'm going to guess, is probably going to be played between September and January for anyone who wants to play LIV.
Yeah. I saw a funny tweet from earlier this week. It was that the most golf thing to possibly happen was that all of this culminates in just a one TGL expansion to 48 teams or something like that.
Yeah, that would be quite amazing, nonetheless. Yeah, but you know, it, again, it's anybody's guess. this thing is so complicated, but I think what I found very telling was Adam Scott's comment that he would not blame anybody for being upset on how they get integrated back in. Mm-hmm. And basically, the only way you're going to be able to unify everybody, you're going to ruffle some feathers, yeah. you're going to upset some people, but it's just the way it has to be for the greater, you know, cause here. And that is to keep the fans happy, because never have I seen a year like this one where I have come across more unhappy golf fans mm-hmm. than I've ever felt in my life.
Well, I think the best way for everything to be solved is a lot of people are going to have to check their egos at the door.
100%.
For the betterment of the game.
You said it so well right there.
It's just what's going to have to happen. All right, when we come back, we'll go around the CDGA, get you everything that you need to know for what's coming up in the near future with the CDGA. We'll tell you where we're going to be next week as well, and how you can join us for the CDGA Golf Show. So all that is coming up next. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you to Jack McGrath and Hannah LaMotta for producing today's show. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. This is the kickoff episode for the year. Good to be back. Everything
so good
going on in the world of golf as it is right now. We've got new leagues. We've got leagues potentially merging. We've had an excellent tournament from a week ago, so all the good things happening. And we will be out and about next week at the Chicago Golf Show at the Rosemont Convention Center. So Saturday, March 1st, come join us. We'll be on 9 to 11 live from the Chicago Golf Show. We'll be followed by Peggy and Dion also at the show as well, 11 to 1. So looking forward to all of that. Should be a great day. If you've never been to this show, it's the unofficial kickoff to the golf season. And it is unlike any sort of golf show you've ever been to. I didn't know what exactly I was going to be walking into the first time I went to this thing. And now it's one of the things I look forward to most every single year, because it's just a celebration and a culmination of golf. And you're like a kid in a candy store. If you love golf gear, if you're looking for new technology, if you just want to hang out and like feel the golf in the air, there's places to hit, all that good stuff.
There really is. And I mean, and if you're in the market for new equipment or a new mm-hmm. club or new
if you're
shoes,
looking for a
anything.
Trip or something,
yeah,
too.
I mean, travel, it's all going to be there, and it's going to be the largest show ever. It is the largest golf consumer show now in the country. So, you know, Chicago, we get to boast about a lot of big things, big buildings, big teams. Mm-hmm. Well, we have the biggest golf show, and I think you know, this is the year to come out and check out the stuff. I mean, we have got all kinds of booths and stuff. And the latest, and I think for people who want to learn more about just the technology side of what golf has gone to, you can learn all of that out at the golf show. Yeah. So if you are coming out to the golf show, it does start Friday, as Tyler mentioned. Noon to 6 is Friday, 9 to 6 on Saturday, and then we'll be 9 to 4 on Sunday. So we hope to see many of you out there, and do stop by and say hello. We'll be broadcasting live from the show in the Glenview Park's little booth within Town Square. We're looking forward to seeing Ron and Gibson and the rest of the crew from that club. But also a reminder, golf season does officially start March 15th to be able to record your scores and to establish that index for 2025. But if you have not joined yet, or you're thinking about joining, there's no better time to join the CDGA than right now. It's a 12-month membership regardless of what day you join, and right away you can establish that USGA index that you'll need to play in most sanctioned events. You get a chance to play in championships and tournaments, social competitions. There are tons of member perks, and I think, as you always say, you can save enough money that justifies – the purchase of a membership in relative short order. We just signed a 5-year deal with Jersey Mike's. So if you
fantastic
$2 off every sandwich. So if you eat, you know, 40 sandwiches over the course of the year, you just paid for itself. So
there you go.
There you go. But again, you know, the golf show will be there, and you can also sign up for your membership at the Chicago Golf Show, and there you'll get a super tube, which has 3 balls, tees, and a glove, as well as a custom bag tag. So come on out to the golf show and sign up for the CDGA. And people ask me, you know, why is golf the greatest game? You know what? Sebastian Gross did something last week that just to me epitomizes why this game is so great. He's playing on the Hotel Planner Tour, which is like the challenge tour. It's the Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
He shot 80 in the first round. Professional, 42 guys broke par. He turns around and shoots 60 the next day, makes a cut by 3, and then finishes 75-75. That's why golf is
everything
great.
Evens out in the end, right? That's how right. It goes. All right, that's going to do it for us. We will see you and talk to you from the Chicago Golf Show next week out in Rosemont. Peggy and Dion are coming up next. This segment has been brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.